All right, little Led Zeppelin. Hey, the good news is those of you with laryngitis could probably do a pretty wicked Robert Plant right now, although I wouldn't recommend that. Welcome, loves. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I just checked a text message. I should not have texted before I started to talk. Thank you, Nick. I needed that. Anyway, welcome. Bowerly with you. And if you're just getting off of work and dealing with the traffic and the snow and the cold, I'll take you behind the scenes a little bit here at the radio station. Usually, every day, I try to let Tim Wenger know, hey, here's what's going to be on the station for 4 hours in the afternoon drive. Sometimes I actually do it before quarter to two. So anyway, I was all set with a totally different show today. And then right before airtime, I'm sitting there minding my own business, and I get a series of texts from three different people to whom I'm very close, all of them describing being off of work because they have the galloping crud. And the galloping crud in this case seems to involve a series of ailments. One is respiratory. And let's face it, you go to a lot of places now, and it sounds like you've walked into some tuberculosis ward in 1877. People are hacking up like you wouldn't believe. Then you've got the upper and lower GI situation. And for extra added fun, sometimes you get both of them at the same time. And I think we have established that in the event of lower GI situations, if you also have to sneeze at the same time, don't try to hold it in. Let the sneeze come out. That's all I'm going to tell you, and there's a reason why I make that a point. You will thank me at some point in your life, okay? Maybe long after I'm dead, but you will thank me at some point in your life. And there are some other issues as well that are going on. And joining us right now is a gentleman we have spent a lot of time with over the years, Dr. James Harreth with Kaleida. And he's with us on News Radio 930 WBEN to talk about what is going on here. And, you know, I don't know who invented the expression galloping crud, but it does seem to be a perfect synopsis of the various things that people are experiencing right now. And it's only early December. I want to get back to the respiratory situation because obviously breathing is kind of important for the sustaining of life. As a physician, how do you know which antibiotic is going to work against which pathogen?
Hey Tom, that's a pretty good question. So it comes down
Wait,
to history.
Pretty good, pretty good. Don't you mean Tom? Excellent question. Probably Murrow Award. Pretty good. Why don't you say mediocre?
That's right. Oh, excellent. Darn good. Darn good. So
Thank you.
why didn't you go to medical school? That's right.
Because I'm not smart enough.
So it comes down to history. So it and that's the best part. You know, so if somebody has symptoms that would be more likely appear to be like somebody has pneumonia, we would ask, hey, have you been hospitalized recently? And do you have cystic fibrosis? Do you so those individuals will be susceptible to certain bacteria that like to live in the hospital, whether it's Pseudomonas or whether it's hospital-associated MRSA. If not, if it's a run-of-the-mill bacteria that we, you know, strep pneumoniae that, you know, that people will get out in the community, you know, we have a set regimen of antibiotics that we can give out in the community that will cover 99% of what's out there, you know, without resistance. Now, what's really wonderful is that Kaleida and the Infectious Disease Department, they maintain an antibiogram. So in other words, as people, you know, get sick and probably fail outpatient antibiotics and have to be admitted, and we get cultures, you know, we look to see what is growing or not growing in the community. Kaleida is not unique in doing that. So Cleveland Clinic, other large hospital systems, they actually do that. So they want to know what's actually occurring out in the community. So it comes down to history. So if it's just somebody who's normally healthy but is got pneumonia, you know, we'll do one regimen of antibiotics. If it's somebody who is immunocompromised or is likely to develop some more, you know, nasty organisms, you know, we can then, you know, give often, you know, pseudomonal and MRSA coverage. So stronger antibiotics, but usually something that would require IV rather than oral.
Now, some people are lucky enough to have multiple organisms, but we'll address that at a future program, I'm sure. So a lot of people, when as a physician, and I think this is an interesting question, as a physician, do you generally start with something like the Z-Pak and then work your way through the ladder?
So I actually have a unique position in that a lot of times the patients that I see in the ICU, they have failed some basic antibiotics out in the community. So many times I will start with a third generation cephalosporin, something like ceftriaxone, and I'll also have, you know, azithromycin in order to be able to cover some of the atypical organisms, especially some organisms that people may actually contract through their HVAC system, especially during the summer. And then in particular, if they have maybe some really bad skin infection, I may consider some MRSA coverage, which is with like either vancomycin or linezolid. So that's kind of what I kind of start. It comes via history. If I think that it's due to aspiration, they inhaled, you know, maybe some vomit or something because, you know, their mentation wasn't good, I will often start then with Unicin, which is very similar to Augmentin, which has really good coverage for organisms that are, we call them aerobic and anaerobic. So those organisms that live in an oxygen-rich environment and those organisms that live without oxygen. And what's interesting is, well, Tom, how are we going to get organisms that live without oxygen into our lungs where there's a ton of oxygen? So these are the organisms that actually live between your teeth. So if you don't floss regularly, don't have good oral hygiene, there's a chance that you increase the risk of having those organisms then be inhaled, aspirated.
Wow, that I never ever would have thought of that, and I certainly am aware of the importance of proper dentition and dental hygiene for overall health, because I've been doing the ads for the Buffalo Dental Group now for, 20 years, and they're obviously big proponents of very strong oral health regimen, and I have a better understanding now of exactly why that is. Stay with us, if you would, Doctor, because we've just scratched the surface on this, and I don't know, do you have commitments that you've got to make this hour, or what's your schedule looking like?
I'm good until 6 o'clock, and then after that I do have to depart.
Oh, that's okay, because after 6 o'clock I'll be drinking tequila, so it all works out. Dr. James Harith is with us from Kaleida, and this is really good information, guys, because you and members of your family, tell you, this has been a very early year for so many of you to be sick. And I know people who don't call in sick to work who have missed the past few days because of these various organisms that are floating around. And it just seems like an awfully early beginning to this. Dr. James Harith is with us from Kaleida, talking about all of these illnesses that have a lot of people at your office, a lot of people in your family down and out. And Dr. Harith, you've been a physician for a long time, obviously, even though you're a young, strapping man who could be on the cover of GQ on any given edition. But is it our imagination, or is early December a little bit early for all of this stuff to manifest itself?
Well, you know, what's very interesting is that we have completely changed the dynamics of respiratory season and illness in both the North and South hemispheres with COVID. What was very interesting with COVID is that there is the introduction of masking. And with that, we actually, you know, almost eliminated admissions for influenza, RSV, parainfluenza in the, you know, in our hospitals. And by doing that, we kind of disrupted the natural rhythm that nature has for with regarding illness and, you know, regarding the ebbs and the flows. So yeah, you're right. But is this the new normal? I hate that phrase, but is this the new normal? Or are we going to go back to where we were before? But yeah, you know, what we're seeing just last year and the year before, we had a terrible RSV season over at Children's. Just the number of people being exposed, because there are a number of patients who should have had it the year before, they right. didn't get it because, you know, people had masked. So that was, you know, one of the results, you know, at least a good result in masking is that we had quite a few less admissions in the children's world for respiratory illness. So we're going to see what happens with regarding the ebb and flow of RSV. With regarding the other viruses, you know, paraflu, adenovirus, you know, we'll see what happens with them as well. Paraflu is very interesting because that's one of the viruses that contributes to croup in the pediatric population. So, you know, many parents who have young children, they're very familiar with croup. Kids find all of a sudden in the middle of the night, sounds like they have a seal in the next room. You know, what had happened is that virus had caused inflammation of the upper airway, and when the child is breathing nice and easy, that the air that we breathe in, it's a gas, it's a liquid that's going in nice and calmly. But when the patient and when the child freaks out and all of a sudden we have this increase in flow, that flow becomes turbulent, and then it's almost like it almost seems more viscous, essentially thicker, so it's tougher to breathe in. And then because of Bernoulli's principle, you know, that area will actually narrow a little bit, and that's the noise that you hear on inhalation with the croup. So, sorry about being so technical, but that's paraflu, that's croup, and that's why it's so scary. But why we want to allow them to be calm, and then if necessary, go, you know, to the doctor or to the hospital to be able to get steroids if necessary, if it's truly necessary.
And that's something I'd like to explore in the next segment, because, you know, we have done shows or parts of shows about how those of us who are men, although we bang our fingers on a cold day and you would think that we just had been eviscerated like Mel Gibson at the end of Braveheart, paradoxically, things are so blatantly wrong with us, and for whatever reason, we refuse to seek medical treatment. You know my story, and I know I'm not alone with guys. So, well, I'm not alone in terms of what guys experience and how we act. Hold on, Dr. Harith, because this is good stuff. And, hey, don't apologize for explaining this, because I think it's been very easy to follow for the layman, and we're deeply in debt to you for being able to take these complex principles of bacteriology and virology and boil them down into terms we can all understand. And we haven't even gotten to the upper and lower GI situations, which are going around big time, really nasty stuff. And again, when you get both at the same time, it's not going to be a good day. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you so much for being with us, and hopefully we'll be able to get some calls in for Dr. Harith as well. I could talk to him for hours and hours, and often call him at 4 in the morning and do just that. But the phone number to get on the air is 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. comes. You know, doing this for a living, sometimes you have a great plan laid out and something better comes up and you adapt on the fly. Translation, sometimes I pull these shows out of my nether regions at the last minute because it's the right thing to do. And talking about all of these sicknesses that are going around the workplaces and the schools of Western New York, and Mrs. Bowerly never calls in sick to work. Seriously, she's like Miss Perfect attendance record, and she's missed the last 2 days of work because she's been under the weather. And other people I know, same thing with respiratory stuff. Some people have GI issues, and it just seems like it's an awfully early beginning to the season. And if you have any questions for Dr. James Harith, you can certainly call, but I've also got a number of questions. He's with Kaleida Health, and he's a really nice guy. And our on-air phone number is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Dr. James Harith is here. And I want to bounce one of my cockamamie theories off of you, Dr. Harith. You probably know where I'm going to go with this. But when I hear about all of these respiratory infections, and the respiratory infections which sometimes in some houses seem to start out with the little kids, and then they go to mom and dad, then they go to grandma and grandpa. And I have this theory that during COVID, we were so ridiculously clean that our bodies forgot how to fight off infection. And we get these stronger infections, these stronger maladies, because our immune systems were allowed to get out of shape. And I know that there is a situation which largely affects children, Kawasaki syndrome. Is there any validity to another one of Bowerly's cockamamie theories?
There's a little bit of truth to that. No, absolutely. As the old saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, so if you're in a completely sterile environment, you are not giving your immune system the workout that it truly needs. In fact, there's some theory behind that may even be that may even correlate to food allergies as well. You know, the populations that tend to develop food allergies are those who are hyper clean. And yet there are other populations that, you know, are maybe not to be cruel or anything like that, but, you know, maybe have a little bit more, you know, are closer to the earth. We should say we never see food allergies in that population that, you know, that may never use Purell. You know, but again, there's advantages and disadvantages to both as well. But no, there is some validity to that.
Very interesting. All right. So every now and again, the blind squirrel does latch on to the nut. At what point, and I think this is a very important question, at what point, Dr. Harith, do we make the decision to bring our children or our spouses or elderly parents to the hospital instead of allowing them to try to fight it off at home? At what point do you say, you know what? You'd best come in.
That's an excellent question. So it comes down to the symptoms that they have. If they can't catch their breath, if they're breathing fast, you know, and how do you assess that in somebody who's a little bit older? You talk to them. If their baseline, they can get out 2-3 sentences in a breath and they're down to one, it's like, nope, something's going on. They've got to make their way to the hospital. For children, it's going to be, you know, the same. Or you see their ribs; they're kind of sucking in, you know, when they're breathing. And also, it's going to be mental status as well. If they're awake, they're alert, they're happy, that's one thing. Whether that's an older adult or a young child, but if they're becoming more lethargic, if they're not thinking clearly, you know, that's the point of they're either so hypoxic or they're hypovolemic, low volume, that they're not perfusing their brain. That's a big concern. Then that's when you want to bring them in into the hospital. And in just that gut feeling, 9 times out of 10, you're right, that your loved one is right. If they're looking at you like, you know, I, I, I can't describe, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I can't describe the symptoms, but you just don't look right. You're absolutely right on the money. At that point, you know, call your doctor, call your primary care physician, you know, if you want to get a second opinion right at that moment. But otherwise, no, make your way in to be seen, whether it's urgent care or emergency department.
Yeah, because, I mean, none of us want to be seen as catastrophizing basic illnesses and coming off like hypochondriacs. But on the other hand, sometimes delay can lead to death. In particular, I'm thinking about cardiovascular attacks that take place. One of the issues also about which I'm hearing a lot, the lower and upper GI situations. And I don't know why. It might be subjective. I don't know if there are any quantitative metrics out there that would back this up. But it seems to me I have heard more people complaining about vomiting and, well, let's just say it, explosive diarrhea. Or as I call it, explosive dyna. I've heard more people complaining about it earlier in the season this year than I have hitherto. Is there any evidence of that in the medical community here in Western New York?
So the gastroenteritis, especially viral gastroenteritis, and it is also seasonal. We tend to see that more often, you know, in the winter months, whether it's rotavirus, norovirus, or Norwalk virus. We tend to see, but since we are seeing some of our respiratory diseases sooner, there's a good chance we're going to see our gastroenteritis viruses sooner as well. And there's an extra special virus out there that I particularly can't stand, which is an adenovirus that not only can give you a bad pneumonia, but could also give you your vomiting and explosive diarrhea as well. That one's particularly nasty. It's a 2-for-1 special, essentially, or 3-for-1.
And I know that you're a physician and obviously have to be use decorum and such, but there is nothing worse than upper and lower GI issues at exactly the same time. There's just no getting around it. It's ugly. It's vile. It's nasty.
Three words. Bring a bucket. Yep.
or the garbage can we have in the small bathroom or the large bathroom. In a pinch, that will do. When faced with these gastroenteritis situations, could you please address the importance, especially for children, of hydration? I mean, there's not a parent in the world who hasn't heard of Pedialyte.
Exactly. So it's Pedialyte. It's Gatorade. It's, you know, water, or it's popsicles as well. Any way in order to be able to get those liquids in. But what you're going to be watching is you're going to be watching for lethargy. You're going to be watching to see whether your child is acting appropriately. You know, and if the child is in diapers, you're going to be looking to see whether they're urinating, you know, and how many wet diapers they have. And in some cases, you may have to put maybe a little gauze on the front because, you know, they've got so much diarrhea. It's like, gee, you open it up. It's like, all right, well, did they urinate or not? That could be another little trick. But if in doubt, call your pediatrician and or take your child to the emergency department if necessary for IV fluids. Many times the will give IV fluids and then can maybe get that child out of that little hump, and they might be able to go home even despite having some diarrhea. If they can keep up by mouth, mm-hmm. you know, then we're in a good place. But what's nice is that we have a fantastic pediatric emergency department. We do have some really good pediatric urgent care centers that can help out with IV fluids if necessary.
Indeed. And again, the hydration thing cannot be overstressed, not just for children, but also adults. I know the bottled water industry is big on this, but hydration is just so important. And a lot of people, as you know, will complain of muscle aches and pains and tension, and they're just not getting enough to drink. And I'm not talking about liquor, I'm talking about water. Dr. James Harith is here with us on WBEN. And one of the things I'd mentioned earlier, Dr. Harith, and I realize that different people have different reactions to different medications, whether they're blood pressure pills or whether they are antibiotics. And what I have found, and I don't know how common this is, so I'll ask the question, is for me, Cipro is the wonder antibiotic. If I am traveling and run into traveler's gastroenteritis, the Cipro tends to take care of it very, very quickly. It's like the Imodium might stop the symptoms, but it's not really addressing any bacterial issues. And the same thing with, for example, a lung infection. I found the Cipro to be very efficacious. What makes Cipro so effective for so many people?
Well, the wonderful thing about Cipro is that it does cover many of the common pathogens. But the problem with Cipro is that it covers many of the common pathogens. So you do run the risk of developing resistance versus a narrower spectrum antibiotics, which would be able to kill the one bug or two bugs that are bothering you, but not disrupt other flora in your body as well. But again, it's a wonderful antibiotic that covers, you know, many of the common pathogens that we encounter, whether it's urinary tract or whether it's bowel or whether it's in the respiratory tract. And it's oral and relatively inexpensive in the oral form. But unfortunately, with many antibiotics, is that it may kill beneficial bacteria that we have in our gut, and does a number of things. One of them is that it helps provide and create vitamin K, which is used to allow us to clot. The other thing that could happen is you could develop Clostridium difficile infection, a terrible diarrheal illness that could occur if you're on a broad-spectrum antibiotic.
And that's what Cipro is, a broad-spectrum antibiotic?
Yes.
Dr. James Harith is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. One of the concerns that people are hitting me with here is, Tom, I've had infections for a few days. I've had them for a week, but this is going on for 2.5 and 3 weeks. Any medical evidence out there as to the what seems to be the increased duration of these various galloping crud buffalo wintertime illnesses?
So it could be at this point, did we get over one virus and then did we develop a second virus be exposed to a second virus? The other is, which is very interesting, and I'm waiting for more data to come out, and so my other colleagues as well, is those people who have been infected with COVID and one of the original strains of COVID, is that still causing problems later on? Even seeing that in my own family, one of my kids, never had trouble with her asthma, never had trouble, but ended up getting the COVID virus, did well with it, thank goodness. But ever since then, her airways are a little bit more twitchy, we would have to take a look at these individuals' histories. Did they unfortunately contract one of the earlier forms of COVID? And is that causing, more inflammation so that, just a normal virus or normal cold they may have had, is it now more protracted? So I'm waiting for that data to come out. So I'm very curious.
Of course, you know me and my tinfoil hat. My question is, was it the COVID or was it the COVID shot?
Yeah.
But I don't want to get you into trouble. I don't want to get you into trouble. I'm going to just put it out there and let people do their own thinking on it. Dr. James Harith, it has been far too long since last we spoke, and I definitely want to get you back on a regular basis, especially because this is just a nasty. I mean, poor Tim Wenger's had to change schedules and make do with a lot of different people because, you know, we've obviously had it sweeping through the radio station as well as other people's workplace, but we definitely need to get you on a regular basis, and I want to thank you kindly for your time as always.
As usual, this has been a pleasure. I love talking to yourself and to your fantastic radio audience. And any way that I can get information out to our listeners out in Western New York, I love the opportunity.
Yeah, these folks who listen, they're all right. I mean, we've had a 40-year-plus relationship, and you know they're okay. They're a great bunch of people. Generally speaking, Dr. Harith, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. And I'm sure that Brayton Wilson will feature sound bites of our magnificent interview during a new morning on WBEN tomorrow with Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski. Thank you so much. We will talk soon, Dr. Harith.
Thank you.
Dr. James Harith from Kaleida. And wow. Anybody else feel like you just got med school 101? And I hope that you found that helpful. And I hope that you found today's program helpful. And I never got the chance to ask about the home remedies, the garlics and the turmerics and things like that, because a lot of you swear by them. And you know what? It might be a situation where it works for you. Maybe it wouldn't work for me and vice versa. I don't know. But anyway, may I thank you for all of the phone calls and all of the awesomeness you guys brought to the table today. This was the last topic I thought I was going to do today, but I think it was very, very appropriate. Drive safely on your drive home. Okay, don't need you to get into an accident. And we will look for you tomorrow between 2 and 6. Nope, there's no way I'm calling in sick on anything this week. That ain't going to happen. But I look for you tomorrow with 2 and 6 after David Bellavia right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Brayton standing by with Buffalo's Evening News at 6 on WBEN. And thanks to Tanner Saunders for a perfect game. If he was a baseball pitcher, he'd be making billions.